Is fear a great motivator?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome to the, can you believe it, Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I ask the question, is fear a great motivator? At times it can be, and even sometimes in a positive way, but in this world today, fear is being used, sometimes fear of things that are unknown, fear that is really not founded, and fear that might be built on something phony. It's hard to discern. All this week, we've had this topic of finding truth in a world full of lies. It's not easy. In doing this program, it is not easy to often dig down to the truth. Even as we try to mine the truth, so to speak, some people try to put some falsehoods in the way to try to trip you up. We do the best that we can, and I hope you appreciate the effort that we put in. We're not perfect, but we're trying to give you some information you may not find anywhere else. Let's face it, when it comes to the virus, to politics, to any of it, if CNN ever hits 50%, that's going to be a huge thing when it comes to factuality, when it comes to this virus, and it comes to politics. It's sad that the media that we're supposed to have to rely on is no more than a propaganda arm for an ideology. And those of us that are trying to do something like this radio program, sometimes hard to sort out fact from fiction. But we do the best that we can. I want to thank so many of you who have been sending cards and letters, and I'm going to be getting to you. Look in the mail in the next several days. Hopefully you'll be getting a letter from me. I want to thank you for being a listener to Truth to Ponder. I'm going to bring back one more time this week my guest, Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And we're going to finish up all the topics. We started Tuesday, and here we are Thursday. I want to kind of wrap this up. And we're going to talk about fear being a motivator and how those that even claim the name of Christ can be subjected to that fear and may even fall into some compromise as a result. Dr. Gales, let me just come right out and ask the question. Do you believe that fear can be a huge motivator on people?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, I know people who I truly and honestly believed loved the Lord and later found out really didn't, or they compromised. We don't know. We know people who we're pretty sure loved the Lord, but I can't make windows into men's souls, and neither can you. And only God knows their heart. And I've seen people do all the right things, say all the right things, and then lose it at the end and turn their back. So, you know, I don't know. What I do know is there's a time of great tribulation, a time of tribulation and deception and deceiving. And we know Antichrist, before he comes, there will be massive deception in the world. And so you're going to see, and corruption in everything, because that's who he is. That's his preparation. And so we see this, people taking this vaccine. It's a free will choice. And whether you have looked into it or you haven't looked into it is not my issue, right? God is still going to hold us accountable as to whether we've looked at it or not. And it is a matter of who we're trusting. So fear will have that motivating factor. And unfortunately, we should be looking into something that has so many questions about it. And this thing that they've created here, this vaccine, it's been around for years. They've just been waiting for the opportunity. So, you know, Gates.
Yeah, because tells us, you know, who would want to be signing up to take, well, this is unproven technology that may modify your DNA. If you're, and one of the things that I've seen this and people have pointed it out, you know, these people come eagerly in to get the roll up their sleeve. But you know, you don't just roll up your sleeve. There's papers you must sign.
Tons of them. You sign a whole pile of papers and I'm saying
you never read them.
No, because you're trusting who? Who are you trusting? What are you trusting?
You're trusting the who. Right. I feel like I'm doing this old thing from the 1940s, Who's on First? You know, with Abbott and Costello. You know, the Who has been part of this diabolical mess for a long time. They lied, they covered up about the original release. They came out of the lab in Wuhan. Stop trying to tell me that it came from an old bat or an accident or frozen food or every other thing they try to float. It ain't flying. Dr. Fauci was playing with this stuff a long time ago until you couldn't, and it and our money went to China. I mean, let's be honest. Let's stop beating around the bush and pretending that this virus was some just fluke of nature that happened to come flying out of China and killed 500,000 people, which it didn't, in the United States. I mean, this is part of my issue. It did not kill by itself 500,000 people.
No, and those are the lies. But the fear is causing Christians, people we believe are truly Christians, they are succumbing to this. They're pumping it in their system because they believe in the gold standard medicine people who have lied to them. Pfizer has been one of the most corrupt, false.
Oh, they've had to pay billions of dollars in fines and restitutions.
That's right. Moderna, on their very website, talks about this vaccine being an experimental mRNA platform. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they don't call it a vaccine. They can't legally. They call it an operating system. And they have no idea what it can do.
Or the long-term effect.
They have no idea. And it's a software with biosensors, they say, that guess what? If you read their website on it, it tells you that it stores software applications and can be downloaded into it. Folks, from a biosensor, guess where that comes from? The internet of all things, the cloud. And the cloud, and this is going to transfer things to you. So you're allowing a system to be put into you that you really know nothing about, that is changing your person, the very image of God in you, your DNA code that he gave you that makes you unique. You're allowing it to be changed completely, and you're allowing them to be able to control even your emotions, to start to read your thoughts. Look, we've been able to read people's thoughts by impulses in the brain for 30 years now. But and guess where people are going with their thoughts. Now, they're going to be able to do that easily. And do it with your emotions, your bodily functions. Everything will be in real time. In real time, Wi-Fi.
Look,
even if
someone is listening right now and saying, Bob, you know, I'm not buying all this. Well, I bet you'll
give it a document.
You don't have to, but you know, then but a lot of people would say that, and they'll also, but I will tell you, so you're willing to be the experiment on something that has never been done at the human level at this, like we're doing today with this new, you know, operating system, so-called. You're right, by any legal definition, this is not a vaccine. And if you read the paperwork, you're acknowledging that I understand this is not a vaccine. This is not a watered down version of the corona, you know, COVID-19 virus. Well, COVID-19 is the disease. The coronavirus is what you're not being injected with a coronavirus knockoff. You're being vaccinated with something that's supposed to, in theory, look. If a vaccine works, it means you have developed antigens in a matter of days to protect you from the real virus. That's the theory. That's what, you know, polio did and others, or the flu vaccine does every year to about 40% of those that take it. That's about it. On a good year, 40% of those that get the flu vaccine will probably not get the flu that they might have if they had been exposed otherwise. That's the best we can do after, 50 years of doing this?
Right.
So, and somehow we magically, look, I'm not faulting President Trump or anybody else's efforts that were done in good faith. I'm not faulting that. I'm just saying that I'm having a little bit of a hard time believing that somehow we had a 95% effective something or other in a matter of months. That's where I'm, you know, I'm scratching my head.
Because they didn't have to take the time to create a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It is a program. And Moderna calls it on their very own website an app, like on your cell phone, an app. And it says is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for protein.
It's gene therapy.
Exactly. And they have this, they call the DNA is the storage unit. We know that information. The mRNA, which is a modified RNA, is the software, right? And then they have the protein, which will be the application. And they're updating. They actually say here, second, third shots are updating the software.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and
yeah, and we started out with one shot, then two. Now Bill Gates is saying, you know, we're going to need a third shot by now. We need to do this three times on somebody.
Yeah, because they're loving this. It's a real time experiment, and they're seeing how it affects people. Some die, some make it. Look, on Moderna's page, you know what they call their mRNA medicines? Mm. You ready? The software of life. What's in the midst of the garden? The tree of life. This on their page is called the software of life. My question is, what kind of life? A genetically modified life. If you live, you will be genetically modified. You will not be you anymore. Mm-hmm. The minute you take these, and unfortunately, there are people who've taken them, but these things are actively changing your DNA as we speak. The mRNA and even the nanoparticles are in there. So the nanobots, or what they call nanotechnology, is artificial intelligence. It's AI. It is official science. And it is in there, and these nanobots, this evolution they call it, is really a war against us, and it's a bio invasion, is what we would call it. So the nanobots are like these new soldiers that are invading the human body in like this Trojan horse of a vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's for our protection, right? But it's the mRNA injectables that are altering the DNA, and they live in our brain. As a matter of fact, you remember Ray Kurzweil? He's the one who the internet of all things and engineering, Google. He was quoted as saying, nanobots will live in our brains by 2030. Mm. Well, guess why he knew that? Because we're being pumped with them now. And people are dying from them.
Yeah.
But those who live are being transformed.
Well, transhumanism. And what they get away with is, well, in our early testing of some, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever it was, we had an acceptable number of deaths of those or illnesses in our trial runs. It's less of a death chance at the moment. We don't know the long term, but you know, of than the virus itself. So we were led to believe. Listen, we got to go back real quick and to the numbers just for a second. I've been trying to get. And we're getting close. We're starting to get the numbers of those that died in 2020 are beginning to become codified and solidified into numbers that make sense. You know, there's a little bit of a lag. I get it. You know, weeks sometimes. But we've been told, according to, because Biden said we had to have 500,000 dead. That was going to be. That's the word that came out that he doesn't say this stuff. People tell him what to say. Let's be honest right now. He's not the genius that said, my research. He didn't do any research. No. He was spoon-fed. 500,000 people must die by the end of February, okay? And so we're warned at Christmas time and we're warned at Thanksgiving that we're just going to spread this mean virus around and we're going to run these numbers through the roof. And cases are going to just explode. They predict all that. So let's tear these numbers apart real quick. May not finish it in this segment, but we'll definitely get it done, I think, on this program today. 500,000. Okay. If that was true, 500,000 dying of some new thing. This is the implication that CNN has when they have the death ticker showing occasionally. They don't have it all the time now, but just when convenient, the death ticker, as we're now 490, then 495. And we know by next weekend, by the time this show airs, we may be, you know, because we record a day or so in advance, who knows? We might cross 500,000. And a lot of people that I know are going to believe it, hook, line, and sinker. Now, have people died from this? Yeah. I know people that say, well, I have five friends that died from age 39 to 89 that died of this. Are you sure? You don't want to ask that question because, you know, there's some raw hurt feelings and people that are believing all of it. How many of those five would have died otherwise without the virus this year? We don't know. Probably some of them, yes. We just don't know. But I'm beginning to look and feel very certain about one thing. If you go back over the last 15 years, 10 years, 10 to 15, you can kind of predict year to year deaths from all causes during the course of a year. And by analyzing the age brackets, and let's face it, we as a society, because of abortion and other things, with baby boomers like myself, you know, right now coming, we're cresting through now, there's going to be a slight uptick year by year in the number of people dying. We have a larger population and a larger percentage of said population is older than it was 10 years ago. And so, you know, you can predict that some years you're going to have maybe 17 to 30,000 more people die than the several million that died the year before. That's just the numbers. You know, sorry, but that is the raw fact. You know, you have millions of people die every year and you're not going to stop it. So if the coronavirus was really what they said it was, we should have an additional at least 300 to 400,000 deaths for the year 2020. Would that be a reasonable statement over the year 2019 if all these people truly died of the coronavirus?
Sure. It'd be reasonable.
But we're not getting that.
No, they're not. No.
No. If anything, you know, they know we were told, you know, you figure that let's say that 25,000 would be the number above and beyond, you know, the year 2019, based upon all these statistics of age and everything else. Well, you know, it's not much more than that. Even if it's 50,000 over, that means only what? Maybe 30,000 died of the coronavirus, not 500 or 400,000? There's something wrong with these numbers.
Yep. Well, it's a scam. It is a scam. And if that's the case and they have to use these numbers as a scam, okay, to scare us to take this shot, and Gates says every human on earth needs it, and Merkel says everybody needs it, why? What are they doing? Why are they giving it to every human on earth? And why did we read about this in Dr. Pecci from the Club of Rome in 1968 when he wrote his book about eugenicists? And he says, we've got to depopulate because of the explosion of population. And this is the way to do it, through a vaccine, he said, that people will take and we will give them a pathogen.
Yep.
Listen, that is from the Club of Rome. Dr. Pecci, he's the one who said it.
In 68.
And of course, they have other things, they said. They said we can use food, we can use water, we can use nuclear war. And you know what? They'll use them all if you try to stop them. I mean, look, folks, there's a cabal of people who have an ideology that is very far from yours and mine. Don't think they don't exist.
Let's think about something. You know, a lot of people talk about, and I know it may be a little bit more real estate now than it was 20, 25, you know, about 20 years ago, maybe. People, you'll ask a question and you maybe would talk to a typical high school student, even a college graduate, and say, if you took all the men, women, and children in the world, everybody, every human being, and try to put them all, get them to gather in one place. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to live in one place. I'm saying get them to gather in one place where they can all sit down in a chair, you know, row by row. How big of an area would you need? Something the size of the United States? Something the size of California or Texas? You know, the big landmass? Could you fit them all in there? And you'd be surprised how many people say, well, you'd probably need something the size of the United States. And I'd say, no, it's smaller. Okay? The size of Texas? Nope, smaller. You can fit every man, woman, and child to gather together in Jacksonville, Duval County, Florida. We're not this overpopulation thinking that, you know, that you couldn't put every man, woman, and child to stand together in Texas. No, it's a lot smaller. We're not as many. We're not as big of a consumer on the earth as you think we are.
No, it's a myth. You can give every 7 billion, let's say 8 billion people, you can give every person, okay, an acre, 2 acre plot of land, and you would still have millions upon millions upon millions of acres. You understand, you could fit them all in the U.S.
Yeah.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. You've been given a lot.
Exactly. Because once you begin, and it goes back to the other programs earlier this week, and we've been trying to get this to be understood, the worship of the earth, that mankind is a parasite that's put the earth in a lurch. It either is going to burn it up, or it's going to freeze it up, or it's going to destroy the dirt to grow things and you know, kill polar bears. They're going to drown because the ice caps will be gone. I thought the ice caps were supposed to be gone by now.
Right. You know, and here's the thing. You're going to be called selfish if you won't wear a mask, or selfish, when in fact they are the individuals being selfish by not giving you a free will choice.
Yeah. The drones that are allowed to live will be eating fake meat. That's, you know, the drones that are allowed to live to serve the masters will get their fake meat, and they'll have their Facebook, and they'll have their movies and their entertainment and all, you know, Netflix and all that goes with it. And they'll have to keep away from certain other people. They're going to have to live and work with their little face mask forever. But they'll be allowed to eat their fake meat and watch Netflix.
But they won't be allowed to think, move, act, have emotions, apart from that being known, read, and controlled.
And that's going to be based on their social credit score.
And based on the nanobots. Look, the Trojan horse technology that comes through these devices that are described as vaccines, the mRNA devices, which aren't true vaccines. Mm-hmm. These things, okay, the nanobots, once consent is given to the injectable device, those nanobot armies fall under the command of some synthetic scientist from a remote location.
Mm-hmm.
And remember this, right now, in a typical hypodermic needle, this is how they're, look, nanobot, you think, well, how could they fit a nanobot in it, right? It's on the nanoscale. So it's a millionth of a millimeter. It's 40,000 times smaller than the thickness of a human hair.
Mm-hmm.
So they estimate that you can fit 1 million nanobots inside of a hypodermic needle.
Mm.
A million. So these nanobots with biosensors kind of light you up. You're picked up by satellites.
Yep.
So they're doing this in real time. And as 40 million people, I guess, worldwide or in our country have been already received the shot, they're already starting to register them on satellites and see them, where they're going, what they're doing, those who have lived. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get another shot, and they're going to light up more, and they're going to be able to follow them and record everything from digestive everything in you. And this is, they're changing humanity. And that's what is occurring right now. So we're seeing the DNA change. It's an AI system. There will be nowhere to run. And doesn't scripture say who can make war with the beast, or who can, no one can hide. There will be no hiding from the beast, especially if you've received this device, these nanobots, these nanoparticles. Folks, it's not a vaccine. I hate to tell you that. It's not a vaccine. Moderna says it themselves on their own website. It is an operating platform. It's an app that they control.
Mm-hmm.
and we're being coaxed and lied to with fake numbers, fear, everything, to get every man, woman, and child on the entire planet to take it. And they're going to say, it's not mandatory, but you won't be able to do anything if you don't get it. You won't go shopping. You won't buy food. You won't go to get a haircut. You won't renew your driver's license. You won't work. No jab, no job, they're saying now. Mm. Look, this is all coming. So why would they do that? If they can get herd immunity by just giving 70% of us the shot,
yeah.
Why are they so ardently pushing for every man, woman, and child?
And we can't be normal till 2027 until we do that. And we're going to, those that aren't taking it, that's why we keep having to push the date from 2021 to 22 to 25 to 27 to 2030 to 2050. You know, it's all because of the ones that won't take it.
And the ultimate ones who really will not comply through fear, starvation, nothing. They're going to be hunted, eliminated, put in camps, and they will be exterminated. Simple as that. Actually, the Weather Underground, you remember that group in the
70s? Yes, yes.
They sat around, FBI informant publicly stated that he was blown away that these guys with master's degrees from Yale, other places, they sat around talking seriously about how to eliminate 40 to 50 million Americans that wouldn't comply. Think about that. That same ideology from the pit of hell is here. It hasn't gone away. And now it's under the guise of medicine for your good.
Listen,
it's under the guise of a tyranny, a medical tyranny.
Listen, as we go to the break, even if you're listening now and saying, you know, Bob and Tim, some of what you're saying is way too far-fetched. Okay, fine. I get it, and I can understand some of your skepticism. I really can. I mean, part of me has a certain level of it on some of this myself, but I do know this much. There's nothing good coming out of any of this for our society, for you, for the church, for your job, for your future. There is no getting back to normal ever, ever. Don't think that if you comply to this, it's going to go back to normal. Whatever this is, whether you see it in its fullness or whether you accept part of this, you understand it can never go back to normal. This is ushering in something that is going to change our society, the way we look at each other, the way we deal with our churches, the way we deal with our families, the way we deal with everything is on the verge of change. And with that thought, we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The toboggan ride. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, when I was a boy, I used to go toboggan riding with my friends. I'd always start in this way. We'd always start the same way. We'd all be sitting on the toboggan on top of the hill, waiting for the ride to begin. We were right on the edge. It would only take the slightest push, the slightest nudge to start things rolling. So there'd just be that moment before. Once the toboggan crossed that critical point, gravity would kick in and the snow would do the rest. So it was just a matter of the slightest push, a few inches. That little nudge made all the difference between going somewhere or not going anywhere. And so it is in our lives. It's written that God has already prepared good works for you to enter in. God has a great life waiting for you. He calls you to great things. He's got plans for you, great plans. It's all waiting to happen. It's all prepared, but it's not going to happen if you just sit there. Your life is sitting there on the edge of fulfilling the calling that God gave it, but there's something holding it back. There's a fear of stepping out, or a fear of rejection, a fear of losing security, a fear of change. Something's holding you back from living the life that God has for you. And all it takes is a little push for you to cross the threshold and begin. It only takes one first step against fear and against worry, against being stuck in a rut. One little step to break out and start moving to victory. One little nudge is the difference between a life that's just sitting there going nowhere and a life that's rolling in God's spirit and going somewhere very wonderful. So take that step, my friend, against fear. Just do what you know God's calling you to do. Then the ride will begin in the momentum of the spirit. Want more? Ask for Healing on CD. Now, feeling like your walk with God could use a push, a nudge? We got the answer. A free subscription to Sapphires. Warning, use as directed, Sapphires can revolutionize your walk for victory. And the incredible The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. All free, you'll love it. How do you get all this? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to minister with me in two of the most exciting ministries, to beam the word of life around the earth by shortwave radio to every tribe and tongue and to Israel, the Jewish people who gave the gospel to you. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip is 07644. That's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, HaDerech, the way.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to part two of the Thursday edition today of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. My guest is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. Now, a lot of you listening completely understand everything that Dr. Gales is saying, and you fully believe it, as many people do. And I'm one of those that the vast majority, you bet, I'm on board. There are some things I've got questions on. But the one thing I do not have a question on at all is every part of this pandemic we've gone through for a year now. We're now at the one-year anniversary of really kicking in and starting to close down the dining rooms at restaurants and beginning to keep 6 feet apart. It was all step by step, one little piece at a time that we adapted to. I remember traveling a year ago now to head up to a state that I did some work in for quite a while, not knowing what to expect. We had predictable numbers or predictions given, none of which panned out to be true. But it's because of those wild, just scary, over-the-top predictions, everybody was willing to accept by middle March 2 weeks to pause to flatten the curve. We did it willingly, and then we got paid our $1,200 to do it. And here we are, coming up on 335 days to flatten the curve. And I would say that it was flattened a long time ago. We've been fed numbers for a year, most of which have been thoroughly nonsensical. We have seen things done, money spent on being prepared for millions of deaths that never occurred. Yet we kept buying into this fear. Dr. Fauci, the fraud, getting on television every day that he could. You know, oh, a mask is not important. Well, maybe it is. Well, maybe wearing 10. I mean, we've been bamboozled, is the old word that I remember, into so a pile of nonsense. But let me just say this much. If 10% of what you heard in the first hour, just 10% of what we heard in the first hour or the first half hour of this program is true, then we are in a world of hurt and in deep trouble. The numbers are not 500,000 people died of the coronavirus alone. If that was true, then we would have had at least 300,000 or 400,000 more people die last year over who died in 2019. That didn't happen. Nowhere near it. There are some stories out there that, you know, even if you want to split the difference, there's some that say maybe the death numbers are inflated. Yeah, you bet they are. I can remember it was March 24th of last year, and a memorandum came out from the CDC. It changed how you filled out a death certificate. It changed the new standards. For the first time they've been changed in almost 20 years. A sudden change in the standards. And it was a radical change. It allowed people to be classified as a corona death, untested, because they experienced one of maybe 21 different symptoms that could be almost an ingrown toenail. It got to the absurdity. also how cases have been counted was absurd. We're going to use a test that the inventor said do not use as a diagnostic test. And when you get beyond certain what are called threshold cycles, we've talked about that before. It's like doubling the penny every day for a month. You start getting into the millions of dollars after a month just by doubling a penny. Well, that's what this cycle threshold stuff is all about. Well, if you have enough, you know, cycle threshold, CTs, and, you know, you're just relying on it as the only generator of a case, well, it's not hard to get a lot of cases. And we certainly did over the past year. Well, quietly, the WHO put out an edict that is gradually taking hold of what a case is. Well, number one, you can't rely only on that test. Now you need to have maybe two tests, and you need to have symptoms. So what has happened since about the 20th of January, when it was this memo came out that was effective on the 21st, you know, the day after the inauguration? The case numbers have started to drop like a rock as agencies are adapting to the new change. Well, what would happen if we went back quietly to the same standard that we had for filling out a death certificate that we had 11 months ago? What would happen then? 11 months ago now is when it changed. Well, those death numbers will come down dramatically too. And all of it will look really good on paper on the 100th day of the Biden administration on April the 30th. Yeah, statistics don't lie, but you can lie with statistics. And Dr. Timothy Gales, I'm going to bring you back here. If 10% of everything we said in the first half hour is absolutely true, just 10%, what kind of a world are we in?
A transhumanist world, a world built by lies and deception. You know, Moderna, as I said before, likens their mRNA vaccine to a computer operating system. It's a software program, an app that is put into your body, mm-hmm. which suggests that its shots are the software of life. With each injection, mm-hmm. every new injection is a new encoding of their software.
And the whole thing from Moderna, they admit it's an experiment enabling drug discovery and development. Well, it doesn't mean that we've gotten there yet.
Everything I'm telling you is what they say.
I'm looking at their website you sent me, and you know it is the science of mRNA, and you're right. It's right there in front of your very eyes.
In the Bible, we're told that, you know, because of sin, Adam and Eve were not able to eat from the tree of life. But the tree of life is just that life for the body, eternal life, because he said if you ate of it with sin, you'd live forever. What is Satan's plan for man? What does he want us to do?
To die.
With transhuman, yes. And he wants to change us in transhumanism to no longer be God's creation. But to mm-hmm. man and science is trying to live eternally through science, right? So Moderna calls this the software of life that they're going to keep injecting us and creating transhuman people. And they'll perfect it eventually, right, is their idea that they're going to – mankind will live eternally. Well, you won't. The elite will. The globalists, the cabal will, but you won't.
And even they're not going to live eternally. God,
no,
you know, that's already written in the scriptures.
Yep, but that's their delusion, right? So you're signing papers to get what you think is a vaccine when they're telling you out in the open it is a software operating system mm-hmm. of nanobots, nanoparticles, an app, a program that is downloaded into you, of course, with possible side effects of death and everything else, but it's downloaded into you and the mRNA will change your genome. It will create new proteins that the body has never seen before. They're synthetic, similar to tech that has been used in true vaccines under the what they call the bacteriophage, which is a virus that infects a bacterium and encodes mm-hmm. changes in the DNA. Same thing's going to happen here. And you will be changed. The actions of Pfizer and Moderna in the media, okay, are suggesting that they're sending mixed messages in order to confuse a catatonic population of people, people who have stopped thinking and are frightened.
Just like the this poor gal in her 30s or 40s with her mama and all that, and they want to go back to church. And if we just take the – and it's like people, if you'll just hurry up and take the vaccine, then my mama and I can go back to Mass. And then we won't be afraid anymore, and we can hug again, and we can have communion again, and we won't have to have the priest wearing rubber gloves and a face mask and a face shield.
No, and we're the ones deceived. Look, Pfizer withdrew its application for the COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use in India. India said no way. Okay, Merck scraps the COVID shot altogether because they admit it's more effective just to get the virus and recover naturally.
Exactly.
And so why are we taking Moderna and Pfizer vaccines here in America that are doing this to us? Listen,
because we want to go back to Walmart without wearing a face mask. We want to go to a movie theater without wearing a face mask. We want to just go outside without wearing a face mask. We want to be able to be normal again is what everybody believes is going to happen. And because of the fear of lack of normalcy, you're willing to do exactly what Benjamin Franklin is supposed to have said, anybody that's willing to give up freedom in exchange for safety deserves neither.
Moderna says that it's not even a vaccine, it's an operating system. Pfizer admits clearly, okay, that the vaccine does not prevent COVID infection.
Nope, and it doesn't prevent you from spreading it.
So, people, what are we doing and what are they doing? All right.
Ask yourself the question. Mm-hmm. We got, I look, there are all these people that are lining up and they're just eager. When can I get my first shot? When can I get my second? I can't wait. And then I said this to somebody on Facebook who is so thrilled. I just got my second shot and boy, did it hurt. You know, he was complaining about the pain in his arm and everything else. But he goes, it's worth it because now I'm not going to get it. And then I pointed out, I said, who told you that? Well, it's a vaccine, isn't it? And I wrote back, I said, let me explain to you something. From their own website, it says, does not prevent you from getting it, does not prevent you from spreading it. It might, in theory, notice this is not even a guarantee. It might lessen the symptoms.
Right. Okay.
That's all it says it'll do. This is not Bob Bierman or Timothy Gales telling you that or making this stuff up. It is from their own literature. You can look it up for yourself. This is not me.
I go to the horse's mouth. Look, we need to go by truth, right? If I'm going to surmise something and say I think it's the mark of the beast or something, well, that's me surmising it. You can take that or leave it. But when I'm telling you they call it the software of life, that it's a software program, I'll show it from their own words. I have a friend of mine, a very close friend, two of his family members, within a week, both died minutes after receiving the second shot.
Yeah.
Both family members, minutes after receiving the second shot, a week apart, they both dropped dead. I mean, you know why? So that you might get a lesser cold? I mean, people are being deceived, which angers me because the enemy is rampant and he is deceiving people out there. And we're being told over and over that this is what will happen, right? Isn't it interesting that scripture would say he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or foreheads? What does he do? Hold them down? No, somehow he causes them to. Through lies, because he's the father of lies, through deception, through deceivableness, right? And that's something that really bothers me. Revelation 13, and it says, and all that dwell upon the earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That concerns me too. I mean, it goes on and on, and it says that those who have received the mark, okay, will not have eternal life, will not be in the book of life. Those are all from God's word. Now, does that mean this is exactly it, Pfizer, Moderna? No, but I will say this. As a Christian, be careful. As a Christian, don't run out and just believe everything. Look it up. I'm reading to you stuff from their own website. Bob was just doing the same thing. It's easily accessible. Look it up and don't be deceived.
You know? And the thing is, because you couldn't have, I really am believing right now, you couldn't have pulled off this kind of a scam 50 years ago. You couldn't.
No problem.
And I'm realizing why you couldn't have. Number one, a lot of people valued their freedom, and they also didn't believe, you know, we had more of a "we're from Missouri" attitude, or Missouri, as some people say, back in the day. You know, show me, prove it. Yep. You know, I'm not going to accept it because you said it, because somebody thinks or whatever. I had a good level of skepticism all my life, and I still do, because I came at least. Some places did, some places didn't. I came out of a training in my younger years, in my parochial school years, to learn how to be a critical thinker and not just accept something because somebody said it so. You know, I don't buy this. You know, why should I do that? Because what? Because I said so. Well, I'm the kind of a guy that would gradually challenge that until you gave me a good enough reason besides, quote, a spanking. But the point is, you know, I've always looked at things rationally. There is so much of what we see out there. I don't trust the narrative. That's number one. I never have, never will. There are many narratives out there we're supposed to believe. It's not that I don't choose to trust them. It's because you've given me no reason to trust it because you've lied to me before. Right. There's the problem. We have been lied to before. And I don't trust what my government says anymore because they are proven liars.
That we did trust, our doctor, medicine, the science of medicine, and you know, we have respect for our doctors and things like that. I get that. But now we've come to a point where I'm looking at all of this stuff, and I know for me personally, I'm not trusting it either. I'm going to research it before I ever put anything into my body. I've seen so many lies right now. There's more red flags.
Yeah, that's right. Which brings up the question. We've all been told when it comes to abortion, my body, my choice.
Right.
Well, what about the vaccine? Why this is my body? Why is this not my choice?
Right. Absolutely. And this is it's Satan's parody, right? And that's what we're seeing happening right now. And this goes, but look, stuff was planned. We've already showed you that. Going back to January 20th of 2017, right after the inauguration of Trump, okay, Anthony Fauci said this.
Yes,
there
I remember.
There is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, he said. Well, how do you know?
And it was going to be a pandemic too, as I recall.
Yep, that's what
worldwide,
he said.
It'll be a worldwide pandemic of, you know, unprecedented proportions.
Because Satan has to declare it, and people went in one ear and out the other for most people, and they forgot about it because yesterday.
In 2017, nobody knew or cared about a Dr. Fauci. They didn't know him from Adam's house cat. They didn't care to know him, just some government doctor. And of course, the typical American thinking, worldwide pandemic, you know, killing people maybe on the continent of Africa or the subcontinent of India or someplace that doesn't bother me. You know, someplace doesn't affect me.
Right. And it's, you know, it's always goes after the ethnic minorities, the handicapped, the old. That really ticks me off because all life is precious in God's eyes. And that's what we're seeing here. You got your predictive programming. You've got them coming out and just saying what they're doing.
Yes.
But nobody listens. Nobody reads it. Fear has made us catatonic and has caused us to trust. Remember what I just read to you earlier, that right now, since the beginning of this pandemic, 30% more people believe favorably the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Did we just point it out? Lies and cover-ups and numbers, and people are falling in love with them. That's the power
Real quick, before we run out of time, and you know that we have a bad habit of doing that, you know that, but let me just quickly share this. Let's go back. And you're talking about the pharmaceutical industry and all the great promises they give you with all the stuff they're going to do. The problem is cures, you know, kill off clientele in terms of what they look at in the pharmaceutical business. You know, cures don't, that gets rid of your customer base if you can cure something. And the pharmaceutical industry, in my opinion, has been, when you look at what they charge for their stuff, the way they advertise their stuff and market it, you know, there is something that is just wrong with the industry. Sure. The amount of money that they get, and we look at healthcare today, it goes back to what we shared, you know, from that movie Network. You know, the world is a business. The pharmaceutical company is not there to heal you. It's a business. Mm-hmm. Too many people get in the medical profession to get wealthy, and it's a business, and they own other businesses, so they can enjoy, you know, the good life. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I don't trust the medical industry anymore. I just don't. My late wife passed away from cancer many years ago. My first wife, I lost her to cancer, and I look at how much debt I had from experimental chemotherapies that failed, and everything else we went through for 2 years. So if you're talking to the wrong guy about the miracles of medicine, mm-hmm. I have yet to see. I don't see a whole lot of them lately. All I do is I see all these wonderful medications that'll fix everything, you know, from your psychological well-being to your heart diseases to you name it. And then, you know, we somehow sit there with the pleasant little happy music playing as a guy in fast voice rattles off a million side effects that will kill you.
Right. You know,
and yeah, we're going to run to our doctor to give me, you know, right. plasmatic, whatever it is, or, you know, placebo X or
a pill of some kind.
Yeah, I got to have it.
At some point, what we ought to do is talk a little bit more about how the industry came about, mm-hmm. because the Rockefellers changed the Food and Drug Administration. They created it, and they took away natural medicines, you know, stuff people have used for thousands of years. And they vilified it, made it look evil, and they created schools for doctors for allopathic medicine instead of homeopathic, which is the natural. So allopathic is the petroleum-based medications in today's pharmaceutical industry. So they created schools, began doing away with the homeopathic natural medicines and considering them, writing textbooks, considering them backwards, wicked, you know, stupid, unintelligent medicine. And they began promoting their own. And then students, they began giving them prestigious awards if you graduated from their medical school, and then positions in hospital. And they created the entire pharmaceutical industry. Now, I have a sister who's no longer here. I had bad stomach problems. I was going, getting over-the-counter stomach mm-hmm. issues, mm-hmm. and then went to the doctor. They gave me prescription for my stomach. She said, you know what? Go out and buy Slippery Elm. Slippery Elm capsules. You know, it's elm from the mm-hmm. from the elm tree bark. And she said, take that. Do you know it totally healed my stomach?
Wow.
I gave it to a woman who had two ulcers in her stomach, totally healed her. She was on all sorts of medicines for her ulcers. Totally healed her. Now, I always joke, you know, the American Indians, I guess, discovered the slippery elm. And I'm thinking, you know, what happened? An Indian had a stomach ache, said, let me eat some tree bark. Or, you know, I don't know how they discovered it. But nevertheless, it works. Look, God gave us. And if you read scripture, you read even, I mean, we're told that he gave us the plants and the animals for our use. And you know, everything he created, he said, it's good, and it's for man. So, you know, don't neglect natural things. They work.
No, they do.
And when you understand the industry that was created by some very nefarious people who are into nefarious things, and now we see the corruption, and we see the fact that they're putting out of business health food stores, and you know, you've got a lot of homeopathic doctors who are disappearing, and I mean, that's just crazy. But it's not out of what we see happening in the world right now. It's not out of the norm. We live in a, what did John say? The whole world lies in the evil one.
Look, in the last seconds before we got to close down, look at what happened last year. Trump talks about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and all these other things and vitamin D and C and zinc. And he's immediately condemned as a quack. And you have CNN saying, that'll kill you if you take that stuff. And you have Nancy Pelosi, it'll kill you if you don't do that. It'll kill you. And everybody's doing that. What happened after Biden became president? Suddenly hydroxychloroquine is cool again.
Yep. And not only works. That, but criminally, Bob, they're showing that there were groups that purposely overdosed people with it so that they would die, so that they could lambast Trump and everyone else.
And it turns out, you know, once again, you know, people's lives were expendable for a political cause. Any quick thoughts in the last few closing seconds?
Listen, this world isn't our home. We have an eternity to gain with Christ. And I say this now. If you don't know him, you need to believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sin, that he is the savior of the world, not Fauci, not a vaccine, okay? He is. And in him is light, and this light is the life of men. And he, in his light, will give us light. Always look to him and hold on fast, because our redemption draws nigh.
Dr. Gales, thank you for being my guest today and for closing out this segment on a very positive note. To know our redemption draweth nigh, and there's room at the cross for you and I. We try to pass along information on this program, whoever my guest may be, myself included. Do I always get it right? Maybe I'll make a mistake, and if I do, I'm going to let you know. We try to give you the best information we can. All week, our theme has kind of been finding truth in a world full of lies. And you and I know the media, well, our media today, they lie, and they lie a lot. And we're trying to find information that is usable. We may not hit it 100% of the time. We're doing the best that we can. Pray for us that we can always be accurate. And at least give you something to look into, to double check. There's no doubt the pandemic was used as a methodology to see how far they can push, whoever they are. Something is different in this world today. It feels it. It feels terrible. And I'm deeply concerned about the future of our nation and for many that claim to be in the church. It's going to be a difficult time ahead. There are many that say they're in the church, but are they really in the church? Are they really, do they really know Christ? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Somebody reminded me that I need to give these messages of hope more often, and I think tomorrow I'm going to spend a lot of time sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with you in a lost and dying world. Remember, there is room at the cross for you. Say, Jesus, I need you as my Savior. Do you believe in the work that we're doing? You can visit the website truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Thank you for getting us through the month of February, and we're good for the month of March. If you want to help in this broadcast and help us in a financial way, you can mail a check if you so desire. Make it out to Ancient Word Radio. Send it to 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. We are in Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. That's zip again, 30537. Until tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder. Shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
There's room at the cross for you.